Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Yashwini.
I always stumble over seeing with or seeing through, but I guess it really doesn't matter so long as love is involved.
That's right. As long as we're seeing and there's love, mm-hmm. we're probably okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just commenting on this with somebody, how important it is to say the word seeing instead of looking.
Oh, yes. Yes, what an important point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you want to say more about that for anybody who doesn't see that important point?
Well, looking is not registering. I mean, looking is just looking, but seeing is actually registering what is being looked at.
Yes, and I think there's too an element of seeing doesn't require anyone to see. Looking sounds volitional in a way that probably involves a self who's doing the looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you now looking for our quote for the day?
I had it marked, and I suddenly seem to have lost the page.
It's funny. I could tell by the sound of your voice that attention had shifted to that, and it wasn't where you thought it was going to be.
Okay.
That's okay. Well, we're not in a hurry here, and we'll find it.
Let me just, I have so many wonderful quotes that I lost my place. Well, here it is.
All right.
Tragically, when self-will is highly developed, it has the effect of narrowing our vision of life down to a tiny peephole. When we're only thinking of what's in our immediate personal interest, we just don't see things clearly. We can't take in the larger picture. If we did, we'd see that our own welfare is neatly interlocked with everyone else's, that separateness is the illusion born of preoccupation with self. Mm. In today's world, where so many people, whether through necessity or through choice, plow a lonely furrow, we need to be reminded of the importance of living and working with other people, building strong, selfless, loving relationships whenever possible. It is love that teaches us our real stature and reveals the heroism we never thought we possessed. Reducing self-will needn't be a joyless exercise. It can be achieved through many little acts of love performed over and over throughout the day.
Well, there's so much in that. Isn't it just that one, that last line, the mm-hmm. quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention, right? If all day long mm-hmm. we're turning our attention to love, that's what we have, and that's what we do, and that's what we are, and that's what we give.
Could you read it again for us, please? Sure. Tragically, when self-will is highly developed, it has the effect of narrowing our vision of life down to a tiny peephole. When we're only thinking of what's in our immediate personal interest, we just don't see things clearly. We can't take in the larger picture. If we did, we'd see that our own welfare is neatly interlocked with everyone else's, that separateness is the illusion born of preoccupation with the self. In today's world, where so many people, whether through necessity or through choice, plow a lonely furrow, we need to be reminded of the importance of living and working with other people, building strong, selfless, loving relationships wherever possible. It is love that teaches us our real stature and reveals the heroism we never thought we possessed. Reducing self-will needn't be a joyless exercise. It can be achieved through many little acts of love performed over and over throughout the day. You know, Sherry, it reminds me of that, of something you once said at a precepts retreat, right? Spiritual practice can be falling in a love affair with life, or I forget how the quote went, but or transcend, or resisting ego. And that's what it really points us at, that in going up against the voices of self-hate, it can be limited to going up against the voices of self-hate, or we can do it as an act of love, which is the transformation in itself.
Yes. Yeah. So with that, we can stay focused on fighting with the ego, which is very egocentric and ego-supportive thing to do, or we can just simply turn away and see love, with love, through love, and practice that, which makes it absolutely joyful.
Okay, here's our first caller.
All right, thank you.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry Nasweeney, it's Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Phil. Hi. Well, I just want to say how much I've been loving these calls. They're just absolutely amazing, and it's as everybody said, it's just such a tremendous way to start the morning. So just deep gratitude for that.
Mm.
And what's amazing to me is this week, I've been, particularly this week, I've been choosing, you know, a word from what universe, and looking at it. It kind of goes along with another piece of homework I've had. And the amazing thing, at least for the last 2 days, the words have been exactly what, the thing I picked has been exactly what we've been talking about. I mean, what the conversation is on the phone.
It's one of those where you just go, it really is magic, isn't it?
It really is, because I had so much to say yesterday about, you know, the word I picked, and then I thought, but that was yesterday, and then this word, I mean, matches what we're talking about today, and of course they all match, really.
Yes. They do, and don't they? Yeah.
They do. They do, and I think there was one thing I really wanted to, because in that one I picked yesterday was practice, and it says, and we just said it today too, practicing is like being in love and seeing the face of the beloved in every moment, as if for the first time, and I mean that just jumped out at me when I read it, and I just see how it's exactly what we need to do in practice all the time.
Yes, and that we can.
Yeah.
Right? That's what, and that line that Ashwini just read about, the it's love that helps us see the heroism that we never believed that we possessed. You know, it's ego talking us into that, the belief in inadequacy, and that everything is too hard and it's too big and it's so depressing, it's overwhelming, and what am I to do? And we turn, what we practice, right, turning attention to love. So seeing the face of the beloved in each and every moment, you know, if you expand your definition of face, then it's every tree,
everything.
It's every flower, it's every person, it can be every car, it can be every whatever your eyes land on, can be, because what we know is it is an expression of life. Everything is a unique expression of life, of that which is animating all. And so to see it that way, oh my goodness gracious! The what's available to us to give back in gratitude.
Yeah, I mean it is. It's beautiful, and that's in seeing it that way. We're always remembering to that feeling of, like it said, you never lose it because you're always seeing the face of the beloved.
Yeah.
And I there's a something that happened, I guess it was last Friday, actually. I was in a BART station, and I had lost my return ticket, so I was going to have to get another one. And I don't use BART very much, and so those machines just kind of are a little bit astounding to me, to where you buy the tickets, you know. And so I'm kind of, I think Nancy was with me, but we were just kind of staring at the machine. And the other people in our group had gotten through the gate, you know, already. So it was like, okay. So comes up from the side this kind of older guy, and looked like your first eye thing would be, oh, here's a homeless guy, he wants something, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, he came up and he said, here, let me show you, let me help you. And he showed this. We went through this machine, and it wasn't the right one. This one only took cash. I had a card. So he took us over to where the other machine was, and he did not leave until I had my ticket, and he saw that I was going into the right place with it. I said to him, gee, what a big service you're doing here, you know, today. And he says, well, he says, I'm homeless, he says, so I have plenty of time, so I come down here and I help anybody I can all the time. And
wow.
What's your name? And he said, Jules, like a jewel. And I said, wow, you really are. and to me, that's those, you know, when we're talking today about that, those just those little pieces of love cannot be small, because that was life transforming for me, at least, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah. It could turn somebody's whole orientation around, because as you said, you see somebody who looks like that, the assumption is, well, they must want something from me, because what I go to immediately is, I have a lot more than they do. So they must want something from me. And then to realize, no, this guy wants to help me, because in reality, in this moment, he has far more than I have. And he is willing generously to give.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, heart opening.
It is. And it really is. And, you know, I just want to say what I read today in the wholehearted participation. And it says, life is not a spectator sport, and we are not spectators. We are players. Life is not an individual sport. It is a team sport, and we all together are the team. And that just matched what today's reading said to me, too, so much.
Mm-hmm.
That we are... life is a team sport, and there we are. You know?
We're never alone. We can just believe that we are. We're never separate. We can just be convinced that we are. And when that happens, all that happens is that we are living in a suffering illusion. And what we know with practice is we can drop that at any second we choose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have something on my recorder that you said a long time ago, and it was, we are never alone. I think it was from an email class. We are never alone, and we can choose the never alone that we want to have with. You know what I mean? We can choose which never alone we're going to be with. We can be with conditioning, or we can be with, you said it a little bit different now, but that's, that reminded me of it.
Yeah, either,
I'm
either alone because, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. There's the sick of people and hate life and then complain that I'm alone and lonely. Or there's the realization that we are never alone, that we are absolutely a part of this phenomenal whole, whole, and that within that, what's available to us is a solitude that that takes us through that same magic portal into an experience of all that is. And it's not alone. It's when we sit down to meditate, it can look from a conditioned perspective as if we are seeking to be alone or to be isolated or to be having our own experience. But it's quite the opposite. We are seeking that portal that takes us into an experience of the interconnected nature of all that is.
Exactly. And thank you so much for putting, you know, having, as we're all together, speaking our words of practice, you know, coming from our heart around what's going on in the world today. It's so invaluable. It's just invaluable.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Well, and I hope everybody knows we've heard from some people who have said, can I tell other people about this? And certainly anybody who would like to join us is absolutely welcome to join us. It's just like open air. You know, anybody who wants to dial in is welcome to be with us. So,
that's good. Yeah. It's such a service. So,
yeah, good.
Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Phil.
It reinforces that line in the quote from this morning that the illusion is that we're separate, because if we even pause for 1 second to consider it, the obviousness of the falsehood of that would be staggering.
Yes, yes, and it takes that constant yammer, yammer, yammer of what's wrong and what's missing in conditioned mind to be able to have us fall for such a bizarre illusion for even a moment.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work on the part of the ego to maintain a belief in separation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Constant.
Constant. Waking and sleeping. It's working on that. Yeah.
Okay, here's our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini, it's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
I'm like totally filled with like adrenaline right now. I really didn't expect to get on. my gosh,
that moment of you are unmuted.
Wow. So there's just so much coming up for me, and just that bizarre illusion that we focus on in this practice, and you know, is you know what we're looking at that's dividing us, separating us from love, is I'm just so grateful we have a very efficient and brilliant how-to get really clear on what is what. And I know Phil was just talking about, you know, drawing a card this morning and, you know, having the 6-week recording and listening training program available that through the simple act of just pressing record, being present for a few minutes, listening back, we get to see everything that keeps us in the way of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so often, or just so much, you know, is just conceptual. And I'm just so taken with how we actually have a tool that's available to experience what that difference is. I know we talked a couple days ago about, you know, fear versus authenticity. And even in using the tool, you know, when there's a question of, you know, is this ego? Is this real? Is this authentic? That once we drop into presence, and actually listen from presence, there's clarity.
Yes. Yes. And you know, Tracy, when you say that, one of the things that that just kind of is mind-boggling for me is that a person doesn't even have to be doing awareness practice for it to work.
Exactly. And yes, I think it was the peace quote that came out today, you know, about fear or about whatever we're resisting and just how this incredibly simple act, there's so much resistance And what we're resisting is just dropping into presence for a minute or two,
yes.
or 30 seconds,
yes.
or 10 seconds, or but just how monumental. And the how-to is so simple when we use the tools of practice, you know, like recording and listening and meditation. And I know for me, I'm working with some content right now that I'm actually not clear on, and I haven't been clear on for a while, and that there's a willingness to be patient in using the tools, because that desire is to come from love, even though there's just not clarity. There's clarity that I want whatever to come from that place of love, and I see
right.
through using the tools, you know, through the, you know, crapple in my head that comes up from meditation, through, you know, doing the two-handed and just, you know, hearing all that is going on, you know, where I'm, you know, really just kind of, you know, living in what's wrong, and versus really wanting to come from that place of goodness.
Yes, yes, and it is a process, isn't it? I mean, you're describing a process. So I know what I choose. I choose love. Okay, I don't really know how to get there in this situation, because when I look at the situation, it's kind of back to the racist comments or jokes or angry people, or, you know, I'm in this situation and I don't know how. I'm not yet able to get to where I want to be with this. I know I want to be loving. I don't know how to do that right now. And what you're saying is so important. I am patient. I choose to be patient with the process of moving from the egocentric, karmically conditioned position, self-hating position, that I find myself in, to get to the place of unconditional love that I know is possible. Right? I know it's a process. I know the tools to use to do that, but knowing the tools and even using the tools doesn't mean that I am going to move into this new place and be able to stay there. Right, so I know, if we do the racist joke, you know, somebody tells a racist joke, I know I want to stay in love, and it doesn't happen for me right now. But the fact that I realize in that moment that I choose love is a giant step toward being in that orientation. And I know I'm going to have to practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it until that resistance, the fear, the upset, the ego position is worn away, such that I actually am immediately coming from the place that I now just currently, that I know is possible. I don't know if that
yes.
was inarticulate enough to.
Yes, you know, Sherry, I totally tracked it, and what hearing that back, what were, I think, kind of going to my own experience of what the process and that patience that you were saying, what we have in our practice that I think is the key, or I'll just speak from my experience. In my experience, is the key is that. You know, like for my particular content, there's a lot of fear that's coming up and worry and, you know, just not feeling good about this whole thing, I guess similar to the racist comment. And by using the recorder and listening to how difficult this situation is for this person, and actually being present to how difficult it is for that situation, allows the compassion to be there. You know, the softness,
yes.
not only for this difficult thing that this person is going at, but then there's softness for the other too. But that seems to be really the key ingredient. I mean,
yes.
we say
yes.
compassion is the key ingredient, and then we have the tool that actually, using the tool, we just drop into it. So it moves from
yes.
Yes. And what you, the point that you also made, which is universal, okay? There's each one of us with our own experience of it, but the processes that we're talking about apply to everybody across the board throughout time and space, right? So what you said is we have a tool that enables us to move from where ego has us stuck to what we know is possible. So that self-will place of what I think and what I believe and what's right and what's true, and to knowing that I want to go from that to compassion. And an awful lot of people would say that that is true for them, that that's what I would like to do. I don't want to be hateful. I want to come from a place of compassion. But then when offered the tool, the resistance is so great that the person doesn't choose to use the tool because there is a misguided sense that in some way they're going to be better off staying where they are, listening to those voices in the head, than doing what is required to take us from that place of self-will to a place of compassion. And that's the struggle that we're all up against all the time, right?
Yeah.
We know what's possible for us, and in any given moment, will we choose that? And looking at that process not as an opportunity for self-hatred to take over, but looking at that process as a universal process of how suffering happens and what is possible for us in moving to freedom.
Yeah, it's huge. And
It is huge. People like the Buddha and Jesus, you know, are famous today because they address these issues, right? It's huge. It is the human condition that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, like, that's where I'm so grateful for, you know, I was one of those people that fell into a lot of resistance for recording and listening, you know, for actually a number of years. And it was, you know, being, you know, on retreat and other things, it was a requirement. And so much gratitude for it being a requirement. I think you just used that word with what you just said, because being a requirement, you know, just brought, just made it not a negotiable thing whether I was going to do it or not. And that through the experience of the tool, then the benefits are there. And so,
yes.
Which it seems to be exactly what you were just saying, that it's, you know, it's just, it's, you know, it's what's required, but, you know, what we think of, how, you know, this what we want and actually choosing it are two different things.
Yes. And so to connect all of that up, that life, so support often needs to come in the form of a requirement for exactly that reason. If I am left in a position to choose the support that I need, my habit is probably much deeper to choose ego's version of support. Okay? And so life supports us through requirements. If we look at the kind, just what's happening in the world now, and the reason that we're doing this particular thing right at this time, it would seem that for an awful lot of folks, there is a requirement to wake up, pay attention, and make a choice for what the heart wants.
Yes.
It's a requirement. There's no more snoozing along with, everything is fine, kind of scooting along the surface, right? So now we're being supported in the form of a requirement not to stay in that, oh, manana is soon enough place. We need to take responsibility, and we need to take responsibility right now, because if we don't, the suffering is more than we're willing to endure. Now, ego, of course, is willing to endure any amount of suffering because it thrives on suffering. But the heart calls us in a way that says, "This is not working."
Yeah,
that's good.
And it's just even listening back to Sherry, I feel like I could cry right now. But just the vibrancy. I don't know if vibrancy. It feels like the magnifying glass right now is being. It feels like there's a magnifying glass on both. Like that suffering is so intense, and that love connection is so intense.
So intense. So big.
I know we're
past time, Tracy, but it's the blessing of these kinds of times, and we have them. People have them all the time in their lives, right? This is just a national thing for people, but it's happening with people around the world all the time. That choose this or choose that, right? Choose ego or choose love. Choose ego or choose love. It's always there. It's when it gets so big, and the line between the two is so there's not a big gap there. they're just right next to each other, right?
Yeah.
Moment by moment by moment, it's clear. I got to choose love. I just got to choose compassion. I've got to do whatever puts me in a place of compassion. And it's kind of funny because we're familiar with ego's survival issues, but we often don't think about something that, this is not true, but it's like this. It's the heart's survival that is at issue.
It feels
that's
that
what
way.
It feels like. Yes, yes. Yeah. Is it? No. But that's what it feels like. And so we're really lucky. Yeah, we're really lucky to be in that place where dark room, light room. You're right there in the threshold between the two. Which way are you going to turn? I'm going to the light. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Ashwini.
I know we're way over time.
Thank you, Tracy. Well, Sherry, you always can end with the Rumi quote because it so symbolizes everything we talked about, which is your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it.
Oh, say it again.
Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it.
Yeah.
And that's
because it's
that
right there all the time.
Right. Yes. Well, and it's what Tracy was talking about. We know we want love, and yet we don't do the things that assist us to be in that place of love, which is why the requirement is so essential. And life provides that requirement, and then we're forced to do the work that erodes the barrier that drops us into the place that was always there. And that illusion of separation is all that needs to go.
Yeah. Oof, gives me chills.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
I guess.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you on Monday morning.
Yes. Everybody have a compassion-filled, love-filled, gratitude-filled weekend. And talk to you on Monday. Take good care.
Okay. Take care. Bye, Sherry. Thank you.
Bye.